Welcome to Real Money Radio, the show that focuses on real people, real problems, and real solutions. Here's your host, certified financial planner, David Holland.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Really good topic for you today. I mean, it's really good. I know I say it's good, but it's going to be good. You're going to like this. One of the questions I've gotten recently, and I get it from time to time, and I know it's something that a lot of people have thought about doing, is rental real estate. You know, you buy the property, home, whatever it is, and you rent it out. And this can be part of either your strategy for accumulating for retirement, or when you move into retirement, taking some of those retirement dollars you've put away and using that to buy a property that then you can enjoy a rental income from. So, to talk about that, Kathy Fetke's on the line with me. She's CEO and co-founder of Real Wealth Network. Website is realwealthnetwork.com. And the book, Retire Rich with Rentals. Very good. Very good topic. Very good subject and something that a lot of people are looking at. And I'm glad to welcome Kathy. Kathy, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
You are very welcome. I know that you've been active in the real estate market, both as an investor, licensed real estate agent, and a former mortgage broker. And you are CEO and co-founder of Real Wealth Network. Say that 10 times fast.
It's a tough one.
Yeah. California-based real estate investment group. And you've got, it's like a membership organization, right? You've got like 16,000 members?
Well, it's, you know, membership's free. There is a Real Wealth Investor Academy that has a monthly fee for, you know, ongoing education. But there's a lot of free information, too, just as a free member.
Cool. Very good. Yeah. Kathy's got her BA in broadcast. No surprise there. Listen to that voice. BA Broadcast Communications from San Francisco State University. She worked in the newsrooms of CNN, Fox, and ABC 7. And she is the past president of American Women in Radio and Television. And was recently recognized as one of Goldman Sachs' 100 most intriguing entrepreneurs. 2 years in a row. Good for you, Kathy.
Thank you.
All right. Well, let's dig in, if you would. Help me with this subject. So give me first 50,000-foot view of this opportunity for baby boomers and people that are looking ahead, or maybe somebody's already retired, to look at rental real estate as part of their overall financial plan, a way of getting income.
Well, let me start with what your life could be like if you don't do it.
Okay. I like that. Go ahead.
All right. So, you know, we have a couple of major issues in our country, and one is, you know, we're probably facing some pretty serious inflation over the coming years based on the creation of money out of thin air in the trillions. So one of the ways to combat inflation is by having hard assets and owning hard assets. Rents are going up. Real estate values are going up. That's what they do when they go along with inflation. So if you're saving money or investing it at 5-6%, or, oh my goodness, 2%, if you're investing your money at 2% return, you're losing money because inflation is higher than that. And it will continue to be higher than that. So you've got to be making a nice return in order just to stay ahead. So, again, real estate's the only way I know of to sort of have that hedge against inflation.
I agree. I think that often when people think about trying to deal with inflation, that is definitely one of the ways to do it. And yeah, you know, there is going to be consequences to the strategies, right or wrong, that have been used in the past to try to get us out of the economic doldrums. And ironically, the current price of oil is probably giving us more economic benefit than some of the quantitative easing.
Right. I know. Actually, North Dakota and Pennsylvania and some of the oil boom areas are exactly where we're helping investors buy income property, because there's just a crazy oil boom happening in this country, and I do believe it will be one of the things that continues to pull us out of another economic downturn. So that's good news. But instead of investing in oil rigs, we're buying the real estate and helping people.
Yeah, fair enough. And it's a hard asset. I like the way you look at that. Now what do you say to somebody that says, okay, well, but when their inflation jumps up and think maybe the economy experiences some sort of difficulty, or there's maybe another recession, how does this insulate me? Let's say my concerns shift from inflation to concerned about the potential vacancies and other financial difficulties that we may see. So I'm left holding a piece of real estate that maybe has declined in value. What do you say to somebody that says that?
Well, it just always depends on why you bought the property. If you bought the property for the monthly income it generates through the rents, And if you bought it in a place near jobs, and I mean job diversity, not a place that's just dependent on one, then you don't care about asset values. I'll give you an example of my mom's pastor. He's a guy that wasn't making a lot of money and certainly wasn't going to have a fat retirement, but he wanted to be a pastor. That was his passion. Early on in his career, he actually had to move and couldn't sell his house, so he rented it. And at that point, he realized, wow, I've got tenants in my home that I couldn't sell.
Right.
They're paying off my mortgage for me. I'm going to do this some more. And every year, he saved enough for a down payment, and he bought another house.
Wow.
Now, in his 70s, he owns 10 homes, free and clear, that are each bringing in over $1,500 a month.
Nice.
And each one's worth about $250,000. So here's a guy who's worth almost $3 million. He's bringing in $15,000 a month, and he was a pastor. And it's only because of some really smart moves he made 30 years ago that anyone can do today with some good planning. And so my point being that, did he care in 2009 that the value of his property was maybe half of what it had been the year before? He didn't care. You know why? Because he wasn't selling it. Instead, he was getting a raise every year because during the Great Recession, rents were actually going up, not down. So for him, it was actually a positive thing, amazingly.
Well, and that's kind of what I was getting at, Kathy, was I kind of set that one up for you because I wanted to get your thoughts on it, because that is one of the things that when the values fall, you do have people that you say, well, if the economy's not doing well, then there are going to be people who can't afford. There's going to be people that can't afford to get a home. And
yeah.
That's going to mean there's going to be a greater demand for rental property or
yeah.
people that have had difficulties and maybe they can't come up with a down payment for a home. Maybe they can handle the cash flow monthly, no problem of buying a home, but they don't have the cash to put down on a down payment.
Exactly. Exactly. So that's exactly the situation. And that's continuing. Rents continue to rise. And I do have great concerns for renters because they're going to get priced out of even the rental market, not just the housing market.
Well, yeah, what happens then?
it's frightening. They're going to have to move to Detroit or something. I don't know. But that's why I'm constantly urging people to, try to get into a primary residence if you can, if it's cheap, just the same price to own as to rent, because you can lock in your payment for 30 years, whereas you just can't do that with rent. But as a landlord, you're going to get a raise every year, so there's a benefit each way.
That's good. Do you think we'll see another housing crisis? What do you think? I mean, I know you're
every decade.
Okay.
It's a guarantee. There will be. It won't be probably as deep as what we just experienced.
Yeah.
And mainly that's because lending isn't as crazy. I mean, the loans that have happened in the last, 5-6 years have been tough. You had to qualify and you had to prove you could make those payments. That wasn't the case before. Anyone could get a loan and could prove that they couldn't make the payment and still get the loan, So we're not going to see that. But yeah, absolutely. Every decade there's a recession, and that's just how it is in any investment. And you have to know, is it time to buy? Is it time to sell? You can make money in any market, an up market or a down market. You just have to know how.
Well, and I think that you hit a number of issues in your book, Retire Rich with Rentals, that you talk about some of the key things you need to know about how to use leverage. You're not necessarily talking about, Kathy, using all of your own money. I'll preach to the choir here. We have very low interest rates. That would seem to me to be a very good time to take advantage of that leverage.
Absolutely. I know one of the things that I think shocks people is I tell them, don't pay off your primary residence. That's the cheapest money you can get. If you borrow against your own home, as your home is the collateral for the bank, you can get money for under 4%, or just very, very cheap. And you can put that money to work and make 10% return, pretty easily. So, you're getting basically free money by borrowing and then investing it for more. And that's basically what banks do. That's how they make money. They're happy to get a 3% margin. You can do much better than that. So, yeah, I'm all about leverage and just smart leverage, understanding that when you invest in an asset, it's got to make sense from the day you buy it. You've got to make sure you can afford the payment and that the income is higher than the expenses. It's basic business. You can't run a business for very long if it's negative cash flow, and the same with real estate. But if it's positive, well, you can have it forever, right? It's just paying you.
I like it. Kathy Fetke, ladies and gentlemen, CEO and co-founder of Real Wealth Network. RealWealthNetwork.com and the book, Retire Rich with Rentals. Quick break. We'll be right back with Kathy.
Where can you find more spin than in politics? If you said financial services, you'd be correct. Ask a stockbroker how you should invest your money, and what do you think he'll say? Ask an insurance agent the same question, and what do you think you'll hear? Unfortunately, when an advisor is limited in what he can offer, he is often understandably biased. You'll need to ask questions. Ask advisors what products and services they can and can't offer. Ask about their licensing and credentials. Remain skeptical. This public service has been brought to you by Holland Financial. We want to help you plan stronger. For more information, call 671-PLAN or visit planstronger.com.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. I have Kathy Fetke on the line with me, CEO and co-founder of Real Wealth Network, realwealthnetwork.com, and her book, Retire Rich with Rentals. And Kathy is also a certified personal coach, and that is pretty cool because she's also used that with doing radio herself. You can probably tell that she does this. So glad to have her on the program. And I want to ask you a question, Kathy. We talked about some of the things you discuss in your book, and one of the other areas that a lot of folks are not going to be aware of, and appreciate your educational efforts in this area, and that is the tax consequences. There can be tax benefits of investing in rental property.
Oh, you know, so many people don't realize that. They ask me, you know, should I buy a primary residence or an investment property? Because I'd want to buy the primary for the tax benefits. And I'm like, oh my gosh, you know, you do get a small write-off on interest deduction, but on investment property, you can just write everything off. You can write off all the repairs, the management fees, taxes, insurance, trips to the property, education you take to learn about it, your accounting, I mean, everything. And, you know, I'm not a CPA, so you need to talk to your CPA to get actual tax advice. But it is amazing how much you can save in taxes by investing in real estate. And then if you do sell your property and you've made a tremendous gain, let's say you bought a property for $100,000 and it's worth $200,000 or $300,000 many years later, normally you'd have to sell that and pay the capital gain. But in real estate, you're allowed to 1031 exchange it for like-kind property. So if you want to get into commercial or triple net or something different, you can do that and defer the taxes even further. And then when you pass away, your kids inherit it, the values step up to market value, and they never have to pay those taxes. So it's just amazing.
Hey, Kathy, those are pretty good answers for a non-CPA. I'm a CPA, and all three of those things are 100% correct.
All right. Yay.
So you're right on the money with that. No, and a lot of people don't know about those things, and you're right. You know, you can deduct your expenses. We're not talking about cheating. We're talking about eligible, legitimate expenses associated with it's a mini business. Yeah. You know, you've got a business by rent. You're in the rental real estate business, if it's one property or 100. And the last one, most people don't know, Kathy, that there's a step up and that, you know, the property gets brought to current market values for the person who inherits it.
Yeah, I got to experience that myself. That's how we got into our first home. Terrible way to get it, but, you know, that's one of the benefits. So, yeah, I mean, you know, the main thing that I get people really excited about real estate, and then I want to say, whoa, slow down, because the biggest mistake that people made and the reason so many investors lost their properties in 2007, 2008, is they really got excited but didn't have the knowledge to really manage the business. You know, it's kind of like giving your kid a business and saying, run it, you know, without having any experience. So,
well, that was going to be my next question. Talk to me about, because the next thing I would think of is, well, what about once, okay, I got it, I make it financial sense, I take advantage of low interest rates, I do all the things you're talking about, Kathy, and then, but okay, and I get a tenant, either I hire a realtor to help me get a tenant in there, or I advertise it and somebody, they're in, and now there's something that needs to be done, which is management of that property.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So you mentioned a realtor. I want to just caution people that a lot of real estate agents really don't know anything about investment property. I'm going to say that 80 to 90% don't own themselves. So, you know, be cautious about working with an agent who doesn't own investment property, because they're not going to understand the right neighborhoods, the right price point, where the rental demand is. They're used to working with people looking for their primary residence. So, you know, part of what we did at Real Wealth Network is find those agents who do specialize in investment property, and we refer them to our members so that they're getting accurate advice. I mean, that was one of the first things I did wrong when I started is, you know, I had some lady saying, oh, this is a great rental, and it was, you know, $400,000 in Texas. Well, I'm sorry, but you know, that's a mansion. You know, I wouldn't want anyone to spend more than $150,000 in Texas. So just got to be, you've got to be careful and be educated and learn. And there's so many resources. And at our, you know, Real Wealth Network, that's what we provide every week is resources, resources, resources to make sure you have the support you need and the mentorship you need to do it right.
Well, that's great advice, and it's helpful to have that support. And I know you believe this, Kathy, and I want our listeners to hear this, that you believe people can build a million-dollar rental portfolio.
We do it every day. I mean, you know, if you just go look at our testimonials or on the Amazon page for Retire Rich with Rentals, you'll just see testimonial after testimonial of people whose lives have changed because they just took one step at a time. Like I said, like the pastor, it doesn't
right.
have to happen all at once. It's
That's
slow
the key.
And boring.
Yeah.
But it works.
Well, and the thing that obviously you can do is once you have the first property, you can then turn around, use the cash flow, use mm-hmm. the collateral. You know, you can leverage what you've already leveraged to go to the next one.
Yep.
And, you know, this is why my wife and kids, when they play Monopoly with me, they all team up against me because I've got everything. I buy mortgaged and have hotels on Mediterranean Baltic, and then it's all over.
Good for
but,
you.
But that's the power of leverage, and it's no yeah. different than with rental property. And that's what you do with this, so you really can. And then once you get it all built out, then you can, as the cash flow comes in, you can start paying debt off, and you can start like you did with your pastor. And when it's all said and done, you can end up with a good cash flow. And that's the beauty to me of you know, you can, of course, do this when you retire, but this is also something for people that are on the front end of this, that they can do this with the plan toward retirement, maybe 10 to 15 years out. By yeah. then, maybe they paid off the debt and now you've got free cash flow.
Well, that's right. I mean, a lot of people in their 50s and 60s are going, oh my gosh, I'm nowhere close to retirement. What am I going to do? And they come to us and we show them, you know, you could buy 5 or 6 properties. And people are surprised to find out they can get financing, traditional, conventional financing, up to 10 investment properties. And each husband and wife, so technically you could get 20. And that might be overwhelming and scary, but this is how it works. If you let's say you bought 6 properties, I'll say 10 just because it's easier. Then you, let's say you're cash flowing about $300 a month on each of them, which you should be able to. That's $3,000 a month. That's $36,000 a year in cash flow. If you put all that money towards one property, you'll have the first property paid off in 2 years.
Yeah, that's good.
And then move it all to the next one, you can have all of those properties paid off in less than 12 years, and now you're cash flowing. Now you're in a position to retire or boost the retirement that you got started.
It's kind of like paying off credit cards, just, you know, yeah. you actually have something to show for it when you're done.
Right. Well, with credit cards, you have something to show for it. You probably wore it or...
Yeah, right, exactly. What a great trip. It was good stuff. But yeah,
great pictures.
I like it, Kathy. Kathy Fetke, ladies and gentlemen, CEO and co-founder of Real Wealth Network, realwealthnetwork.com. Retire Rich with Rentals, that's the book, and we'll take a quick break. We'll be right back with Kathy.
Have you considered an annuity as part of your retirement plan? Did you know that over the past 10 years, Americans put a staggering $2.3 trillion into annuities? Despite their popularity, many people are unsure about annuities. Why? Because annuities have been attacked for decades by financial folks who offer competing products or services. A lot of money is at stake. So you can imagine that financial firms who only offer investments don't want you to consider an annuity. Get the facts. Call Holland Financial to get your free copy of Annuities as Part of Your Retirement Plan. This booklet provides a plain English explanation of the different types of annuities, as well as straightforward information about their costs, features, safety, and income potential. To get your free copy, call Holland Financial at 671-PLAN or visit planstronger.com. Do you have financial questions you'd like answered on this show? Send them to questions@planstronger.com. You will remain anonymous.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Kathy Fetke on the line with me, CEO and co-founder of Real Wealth Network. And I want to go back to something you before the break, Kathy, about the, you mentioned the qualification and getting loans on investment property. Is it, in your experience, are you finding for the people you've, you know, you've counseled and folks you've worked with, and even in your own experience, it harder to qualify for that investment property versus a primary residence, or very similar?
Actually found that it's easier, and that's so shocking to people, because here's why, at least in the California market, and I think for a lot of other high-priced markets, people in California are just literally priced out. It's prices have gone up so much in the last few years. They're back in that place of, oh, I'm never going to own. And if they were, let's say they bought a $500,000 condo, that's $100,000 down. So, and they got to pay, you know, they got to qualify for that $400,000 loan payment, you know,
right.
The payment's going to be high.
Sure.
And instead, I can say, well, instead of buying that $500,000 teeny weeny condo that needs all that work, how about buying five $100,000 properties that are in great shape? And so now your payment's going to be about $400 a month. And you can qualify for that. Most people can qualify. It's like a car payment. And so the banks will look at that and say, okay, we're going to take this rental income and include that in your income. So now you have a better chance of qualifying. So now it's much easier.
Okay. Well, that makes sense. And that, a lot of people probably would wonder how hard that would be, but that makes it more practical, more realistic.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good stuff. What about for people just getting into this? You know, are they? I guess they're a little surprised at some of the different pieces that are involved. But this is something that people can do. They just have to be willing to take the time to learn and educate themselves and get up to speed before they go and jump into it.
Yeah, absolutely. That's why we're just dumping information every week so that people can, you know, learn step by step and not be overwhelmed. And that's why I wrote the book, too, because I just felt like I needed one little manual that was very clear and concise that gave the high-level picture of why you would want to do this and how to do it. Of course, there's a lot more to it, but it's a great start.
It's a good start. It's a real good start. And I think, and now somebody still may want to do other things, you know. I mean, you always want to be diversified, but of course, you can do that with in terms of the different rentals you may own, but also being into other, of course, income-producing things. Now, I want to go back to something we kind of touched on, and I want to dig a little deeper. Let's say somebody has embraced this concept. They're doing it. Where do they go to find a management company? They open a phone book. Do you, you make suggestions on what to look for with somebody who can actually, you know, take care of this so you're not getting a call at 2 in the morning for a toilet running all night?
Right, right. No, property managers are the key to the success of investing unless you're buying a property nearby then and you're really good at fixing things and like doing that. But if you're like me and you want to treat it like a business and don't want to get your hands dirty or be bothered, then you really have to depend on great property management. So that's probably the biggest challenge, and it's what, you know, our company focuses on the most. We have 16,000 members, and we go out to those members and say, tell us who your favorite property manager is.
Okay, good.
And then we share that information. We're starting to find more national franchises that that really help. You know, most property managers are mom and pop shops, and you know, if mom and pop gets sick, then you know your property's kind of at risk. So we're starting to find that there's more franchises out there that hold these people to a higher level, and also give the resources they need. You know, the computer systems and the counseling and coaching. So it's getting better. It's getting better. And the fact that so many hedge funds got into this business this past year has brought more. It's brought more legitimacy to the property managers and, you know, their certifications, and it's getting better. It hasn't always been the case. Most people would just manage their own properties, but that's changing.
Well, and you bring up another point about the hedge funds moving into this market. That was, of course, because of the significant discounts that were available for housing to buy it, fix it up, clean it up, rent it out, have a property company take management, and it's a cash flow. So the semi-loaded question for you, Kathy, is it, as the train left the station, is there still time, is there still opportunities to buy at prices that make it financially viable? I mean, I know the super discounts are kind of few and far between now because the overall housing market has recovered, but are there still good opportunities?
Well, the fire sale's over, you know.
Yeah.
But, you know, the hedge funds did some really dumb things. They still paid way more than they needed to and didn't make the best decisions. But, I mean, I had no idea California would recover so quickly, or I would have bought everything I could get my hands on. So, you know, definitely California and about 36 other markets of the top 100 markets are done. It's going to be hard to get good deals, but there's still, you know, about 66 markets that are great deals, and those tend to be the judicial states. And what that means is it's much harder to foreclose. It has to go through the court system, so there's a whole backlog of distressed property that already got worked through in the trustee states like California and Arizona and Nevada. It's not going to find deals. But like in Florida, Ohio, Pennsylvania, there's still just a lot of foreclosures, so there's still a lot of good deals. You have to be willing to look outside your backyard, to find the deals.
Well, and the other thing that occurs to me is if you do find an opportunity for quote-unquote stressed or semi-distressed property, fixing it up. Do you want to come in and, I mean, there could be a diamond in the rough. You know, do you look for properties that need some work to bring them up and to, you know, kind of dust them off and clean them up and then rent them out? Or do you buy a property that's really in good shape? And I guess that's kind of an individualized decision, isn't it?
Yeah, it just depends on how much time you have. And if you're buying something that's not in your backyard, we really recommend that you go through a company that does it all for you. They're called turnkey property companies, which means that they'll buy the deals, they'll fix them up, and then when you come in, all you need to do is get an inspection and appraisal and make sure everything's perfect.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, someone else has done the work for you. That's what we recommend, because otherwise you're flying out and managing contractors, and man, you better be really, really good at that. And we do have suggestions on how to do that and how to protect yourself.
But you should at least see the property, or don't even need to see it?
We always recommend to go see it. It's not that expensive to go out and see it. And
I would feel like I'd need to see it if I was going to buy it.
Yeah, a lot of people don't. I mean, I have a lot of people selling million-dollar California properties and buying 10 properties through the network that we've created, and they don't ever go out, which I just think that's amazing.
Yeah, I guess there's different ways of doing it for different people.
Yeah, I don't recommend it. I really think you need to go see what you're investing in. But I think a lot of people look at it like, you know, you don't go look at the company that you're buying stock in. You know, you don't
go to
their headquarters. You know, they just want to see the numbers. There's enough that can be done online through, you know, again, independent inspectors and appraisers. Yeah. But, you know, personally, houses are just so, again, they're just so personal. So you can walk into a house and just feel, it just doesn't feel good. You know, you can't know that on the internet. So, yeah, I do prefer going to see it.
Fair enough. Kathy Fethke, ladies and gentlemen, CEO and co-founder of Real Wealth Network, realwealthnetwork.com. Retire Rich with Rentals is the book. Kathy, thank you again for being with me.
Thank you so much.
Today's edition of Real Money Radio has been brought to you by Holland Financial, conveniently located on Granada Boulevard in Ormond Beach. Could you benefit from a one-on-one confidential conversation with David Holland, or would you like a second opinion to make sure that you're on the right track? Call Holland Financial at 671-PLAN or visit us at planstronger.com to schedule your no-obligation consultation. David looks forward to discussing the financial issues that matter most to you. The host of Real Money Radio, David Holland, is a certified financial planner with over 20 years of experience. And because David provides advice to clients on a daily basis, his hyperactive compliance department wants us to tell you that David Holland is an investment advisor representative of Holland Advisory Services, a registered investment advisory firm. He offers insurance and annuity products through Holland Insurance Services. Commentary given during this radio program should not be considered investment, insurance, tax, or legal advice. Views expressed concerning specific securities are not an offer to buy or sell. Investment advice and planning services can only be given after an analysis of an individual situation and only where Holland Advisory Services is registered or exempt from registering. Real Money Radio is produced by Holland Productions.